Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. We're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Thanks, Eric, for being with us. I'd like to get right into this. We had snow, and it's been cold. Well, snow in parts of the state anyway. And I'm wondering what impact there might have been on soil temperatures.
Yeah, so that cold snap that did come through this past week, you know, was such a change from a week ago when things were relatively dry and warm and windy, and we dried out some of our soils around here, and those soil temperatures really came up last week. In fact, at the end of last week, we had great soil temperatures across the state of Illinois. Well, since this cold snap has come through and some of the snow, not just like we saw today in parts of north central Illinois, but if you go up into Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, they had even more snow from a week ago. And so those soil temperatures in some parts of those states are now back down below freezing at the 4-inch depths. Well, that snow that came through here today in the northern part of the state and the rain we got down here, ultimately this was going to melt so fast, it was the equivalent of getting about a third to a half inch of rainfall. And thankfully, that wasn't the full-on soaking events that can really just shut us down for quite some time. But I have good news. And the good news starts tomorrow, and that is that the deeper wave that's been sitting over the Hudson Bay area is finally starting to meander over toward the North Atlantic. And the good news about that is our temperatures will be on full-on recovery mode beginning tomorrow. In fact, I think we might see a high tomorrow, mid, maybe upper 50s, and my kids are just desperate to go outside and enjoy that, and I think a lot of farmers will be happy to see the warmth return.
Hey, staying with the cold temps for just a second, do you think there was any impact on the hard red winter wheat crop in Kansas?
Well, we're all in a wait-and-see mode. I produced a couple of maps this week that looked at how long we kind of kept some of that wheat that was way ahead in parts of Kansas. I heard a report of up to 4 inches, the head was 4 inches above the ground. Well, so they got hit with about anywhere between 3 and 9 hours of temperatures below 25 Fahrenheit earlier this week. And I'm talking about an area from like Salina to Hutchinson to Wichita, which is a key area. Further west you go, I mean, they had 12 to 24 hours below 25 degrees. And so with the wheat crop so far ahead, given how warm it was, this could be a big shock that we need to pay close attention to, because the temperatures there not only were cold, but they had snow. In fact, they even had snow on the wheat as far south as Amarillo, Texas, 1.5 inches of snow, wet snow covering the wheat. And I think there was some damage just due to laying that wheat down under the weight of the snow.
Okay, so for the last 1.5, 2 weeks, we've been warmer than normal, colder than normal. We're about to go back, I think, to normal.
Yeah.
for a couple of days. What happens after that?
Well, as we look out farther into the month of May, we can talk temperatures and precipitation here. As we get to the end of April, the good news about the flow pattern for the central and western corn belt is that, yes, the temperatures do recover. In other words, we don't see any major cold snaps coming like that have the duration of the one we just went through. Plus, we are now, you know, past our climatological last date for a frost here in central Illinois. And I don't see any reason beyond now to say, hey, some really cold air is coming in, it's going to frost us again or get those temperatures down below freezing. As we look out farther, the jet stream is more in a favorable configuration over the next not only 15 days, but maybe out 30 days, such that the south from Texas all the way over to the Carolinas and then up the East Coast and then coming back through parts of the Mid-South and the Ohio Valley, that region looks very wet. But to get that region wet, it often happens such that the western and northern corn belts get a chance to dry out. And so I think we're going to see a lot of progress made over the next month or so with more normal temperatures and less precipitation in parts of the central and then western corn belt. East of here, though, I'm concerned about too much precipitation.
So I'd like to ask about some global issues as well. I know it's been dry in Europe. I have no idea what's been going on in China, but they're in the middle of their growing, beginning of their growing season as well. And then we probably ought to check in on South America.
Sure. So one of the new instruments that's come on board here, and we're getting better and better data from it every year, is a satellite called GRACE. And the G in the acronym GRACE stands for gravity. And it's a pretty cool instrument, and it allows us to measure soil moisture and as it moves and changes. So when we look around the world, there are a few places that we're quite concerned about. So for example, from basically eastern France all the way through the Russian wheat belt, and that includes Ukraine, they've been very, very dry as of late. In fact, almost on the lowest end of the scale as measured by GRACE. Now, it's been warm there and very dry, and they're actually going to go into this early next week with a big chance for a frost covering a lot of Germany, a lot of Poland, and a lot of Ukraine. So we need to be on the lookout to see if that does any damage. In other words, the cold we just had is now being reflected over there with a cold snap as well. To China, same instruments measuring below average soil moisture throughout much of China's main growing areas. I'm talking about north, west, and south of Beijing, that region. So that's an early season worry. You know, we like dry conditions to plant, but we got to have the moisture to get the crop going the way we want it to go. So you need to watch that carefully. And then, as you said, South America is probably the one area that I think might have the most potential on the movement of our markets. Most major, you know, analysts suggest that the crop is shrinking in size, both for soybeans and for corn. And the biggest problems are happening in the southern part of Brazil. And as I look out over the next 10 days, Rio Grande do Sul, southern Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, they continue to show up dry, which is just eating away at the yield potential in South America due to the southern Brazil growing regions having problems. But where a lot of that safrina crop is up in Mato Grosso, it is not showing up in the forecast to be as dry as it is down south, which means you'll probably hear less of a story coming out of Mato Grosso than anywhere else. But you're right, globally, there are some pressures right now due to weather on ag.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate it, Eric.
Yeah. Yep, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.